to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
The second hour continues as the political cesspool rolls on, or should I say the second hour begins. Nevertheless, here we are. It's Saturday evening, August 15th, 2009. We're live, unrehearsed, and uncensored, and I do believe at least a couple of times per episode we prove that we are live, and we are unrehearsed. Welcome back to the program, everyone. A very fun, very informative first hour we had as we talked about the manifestations of political correctness in the world of sports with my co-host Keith Alexander. He's on his way home right now, so I'm manning the fort by myself. We're not really by myself, as we have our first of three outstanding guests on the line right now from Nashville, Tennessee. A little later on in the program, we're going to be hearing from Frank Roman of European Americans United. We'll also be hearing from Reverend Ted Pike, who has logged more appearances on this show than any guest we've had, and Ted's always a treat to interview. But, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we were sitting around at our normal midweek political cesspool staff meeting, and we were asking each other, well, where do we go after having Nick Griffin on the program? And I said, well, there's really only one place we can go. We've got to get Virginia Abernathy on the show. And with that being said, she's here with me now, live from Nashville, Dr. Virginia Abernathy, Professor Emeritus from the Vanderbilt University School of Medicine. Dr. Abernathy, it's great to have you back.
Thank you, James. Always a pleasure.
It's been too long since the last time. I'm glad we could rectify that problem tonight. And it's actually very timely because you are one of our go-to guests when it comes time to talk about immigration. This is, I guess, your, I don't want to say signature issue because you're so well-informed and educated on a variety of problems that our people face, but certainly on immigration, you've seemed to have dedicated a little bit more of your time and interest. And I was just wondering, Virginia, over the course of the last couple of weeks, we've obviously been inundated with this so-called debate about Obamacare or socialized health care. And I was just thinking, you know, a couple of years ago, back around the time when this show originally went on the air, 2004, 2005, we had the Minutemen Project. And because of the original accomplishments of the Minutemen Project, the immigration debate really dominated on talk radio and on the television cable networks. And then, obviously, we had the big push for amnesty over the course of the last couple of years. And thankfully, it failed, but after the presidential race of 2008 began to kick up and then on into the first few months of the Obama administration, we really haven't heard very much at all, one way or the other, about the illegal alien invasion of our republic, and I'm wondering why that is.
Well, going back to the election, both McCain and Barack Obama support mass immigration, so there was nothing to choose between the two of them there. And now we've got Barack Obama, and he would love to have amnesty, and he is continuing with massive legal immigration, but has had to back off a little bit on amnesty because of the huge unemployment issue we have in the United States right now. The official figures are 9%, but if you read John Williams at shadowstats.com, who computes unemployment the way it was computed in the early 80s and right up until the Clinton administration, you'll find that our real unemployment rate is closer to 20%, which is getting close to depression levels of the 1930s. So it would be pretty stupid of Obama to continue fighting overtly for more immigration and for amnesty. Nevertheless, the immigration flow is continuing at a very rapid pace.
Yes, absolutely. It goes without saying that the problem hasn't been cured. And it's still happening unabated in terms of the illegal aliens coming over in mass. That's a given. It's just a given that that's still occurring. But I was just wondering, and I guess you answered it quite well, why it hasn't been in the media as much as it had in recent years. And also, you're quite right about the McCain and Obama campaigns.
That the legal immigration is about 2.5 million people a year. And nobody is talking about that except for Carrying Capacity Network and its allies. But the legal immigration needs to be stopped at for about 5 or 10 years, maybe an immigration moratorium of no more than 100,000 or 200,000 people a year, which is our traditional level of immigration until 1965.
And, of course, as obscene as the numbers of illegal immigrants that we allow in, that's not a drop in the bucket compared to what's coming over every day, you know, from that porous Mexican border. And I'm wondering, Virginia, what are the odds? Now, I've heard some rumblings that it looks like right now, at least, socialized health care isn't gonna fly right now. And thank God for that and for any number of reasons. But I've heard rumblings that after Obama gets done pitching for socialized health care, that he's going to make another pitch for amnesty. Is that anything that you've picked up on your radar? I've heard that from a few different people that I talk to that run in our circles. Do you think that that's something that they're targeting on their agenda?
It's something we need to watch. But I think that the whole illegal immigration issue is so alive for Americans that is actually one of the reasons that the health care program that Obama and Nancy Pelosi are pushing will fail, because, of course, illegal aliens would be just as entitled to the care as any American citizen or legal immigrant. And that's just intolerable. That's one of the intolerable points about this Obamacare.
Are you surprised? I don't want to get too far off the purpose of this interview, which is to focus on immigration, but since there is sort of a connection between socialized medicine, and obviously that would benefit the illegal aliens as much as, well, obviously more than people like us who actually have pay to have private insurance. But are you surprised at the fervor that the American people have shown? I mean, it always surprises me when we rise up and body slam the establishment, rise up and actually show that we have a pulse left. Are you surprised at the reaction in some of these town hall meetings that our people are actually doing something in defense of their own lives?
Well, every now and then, I think people realize that they are tremendously threatened by a growing government, a government that's swallowing up their own personal lives as well as state and local government. It's just totally out of control. They know the cost is out of control. They don't believe the cost figures they've been told. They know that Congress is exempting itself from any health care legislation that would be passed. They know that illegal aliens would be included under the benefits program. And we all know that Medicare is about to go broke. In 1917, Medicare will be out of money, out of credits. And if Congress wanted to do something, if Obama cared to do something, they should really look to Medicare to see what can be done about that. If they could run one health care program intelligently and efficiently, perhaps we could look seriously at something else, but they've got Medicare and Medicaid to go to rationalize their intervention in health care before they try to mess with anybody else's program.
And see, on one hand, it's sort of an intricate process. On the other hand, it's quite simple. But nevertheless, I still am pleasantly surprised that this many people are knowledgeable about what's at stake here. And this has been a big year, Dr. Abernethy. I don't know if it's because the Obama election has frightened so many real Americans that they almost feel compelled to go out and protest. You've had the Tea Party movements this year, which I don't know exactly what they've accomplished, but it's at least shown me that a lot of people are out there. A lot more people are knowledgeable about what's going on than I originally was led to believe. And then, of course, here with the town hall meetings. And they're not just showing up and being polite. Our people are normally polite. We restrict ourselves by playing by the rules, whereas we allow the other side to break any sort of rules. They're actually showing signs of disgust. And I'm not advocating people go out and be unpleasant and shout folks down, but let's face it, these politicians do not deserve our respect, and the American people are not giving it to them right now.
No, I don't think they deserve our respect either. Too many of them are bought by, say, Big Pharma has struck a deal with the Obama administration, which will allow their profits to continue at the current level or higher, and so has the AMA. Now, the AMA only represents a very small proportion of doctors. I think most doctors are against this proposed health care program, but But I have no respect for these congressmen who are bought by big contributions to their reelection kitties.
Well, truth be known, a lot of these people are just outright textbook traitors. If you look into to Webster's for the definition of a traitor, a lot of people up there deserve a lot more than our contempt, if you know what I mean. But we're going to try to make sense of it all. Sit tight, everyone. Very special guest and a dear friend of mine, Virginia Abernathy, a true Southern Belle and lady, if there ever was one. We're going to talk with her more right after the break. We'll be back with her right after this.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the program, everyone. James Edwards here with you on the award-winning Political Cesspool radio program, broadcasting live from our flagship station in Memphis, Tennessee, AM 1380, WLRM Radio, and going out all over the world via the Internet, even on the telephone now, the Liberty News Wire, and, of course, to all of our AM-FM affiliate stations, courtesy of the Liberty News Radio Network. We are glad you're with us as we continue on now with our first of three featured guests this evening, Dr. Virginia Abernathy. And since the commercial break is over, Winston Smith has walked into the studio and joined us, clocking in about 15 minutes late. But, you know, hey, we're all volunteers, so I'll give him a pass. Winston, great to have you join us now.
Well, James, it's my pleasure on two counts. First of all, I just like being on the air with you. And second of all, I get to talk to one of my favorite people, Dr. Virginia Abernathy.
Everybody loves Dr. Abernathy. I don't know what it is about her. She's just so genteel.
Well, I think she was one of the first, if not the first, interviews I ever did on a political cesspool some 4 years ago, and it's always my pleasure to get to talk with her and ask her the burning questions that have made the political cesspool the foremost populist radio broadcast in the world.
Virginia, coincidence surrounds Virginia when it comes to the firsts for us. She was the first guest we had on when we got the Internet stream back in 05, first guest we had on when you first became a host some years back, and she's everywhere, and she's always with us, and we're grateful for that. I always have to ask her, though. I ask her this every time, how she ever made it out of Harvard. It's impressive enough that she's a professor emeritus at Vanderbilt, which is like an Ivy League school of the South. And I love Vanderbilt. But Dr. Abernathy was educated. She's Harvard-educated, Winston. And Virginia, I don't know how such right-thinking people such as yourself made it out of Harvard.
You know, I like Margaret Thatcher's line about her having been at Oxford. She said, yes, she graduated from Oxford University with a major degree, but it, quote, she said, it didn't hold me back.
That's it. There you go. I think that's a perfect quote and quite applicable for a woman of your intelligence and your pedigree. Back to the interview at hand. We're talking about the illegal alien invasion. And Dr. Abernathy, we already know that, and this was proven time and time again when public opinion polls were issued back when the amnesty debate was hot. 90% of the American people, over 90% of the American people polled in any given poll were against amnesty. 90%, I mean, that's just unimaginably high. In a good way. I certainly believe those numbers, but I'm just saying, I mean, you want to talk about a consensus, 90%, that's it. Now that the Democrats have such control, not with just the White House, but this filibuster-proof majority over there at the Capitol, will it matter? I mean, there are any number of examples over the course of the last 50 years where 90% plus of the American people didn't want something, but the people who know better up in Washington gave it to us anyway. Do you think that could be the case here with the amnesty debate?
Well, it's going to be a little bit more complicated. To begin with, most Republicans will oppose amnesty. But as we know, not all Republicans have stood firm on this. Thank goodness Arlen Specter finally showed his true colors and got out of the Republican Party and went over to be a Democrat. We didn't need one more rhino in the Republican Party. But we've still got two senators from Maine who are likely to stab us in the back, and both of those women are Republican. On the other hand, the good news is that we've got some Democrats who are going to stand with us and stand with the American people and understand that America is a country with its own culture, its own values, and one of the values is, I'm going to say it, wilderness. We can't keep loading up the country with people and more people and more people and preserve our wilderness, our habitat for many natural species, for beautiful, beautiful landscapes. Tennessee doesn't need more people. The United States does not need more people.
Well, and that's something we actually talked about with Nick Griffin last week. He said perhaps the reason that the BNP has been able to make more strides than any right-of-center party in America is that they have nowhere else to run. Our people can just continue to move out and engage in white flight and stave off.
Well, let's not even call it white flight. Anytime that any group is faced with an ethnic group different from their own moving in, they move out. The black Americans moved out of various Los Angeles communities when Hispanics moved in, and some Asian communities moved out of their towns when black Americans moved in. So it's not just white flight. It's just that people like to be with their own kind.
And as we say again, we say it at least five times an episode. That is natural and healthy, and we want that for our people just as it's not only allowed but encouraged with everyone else. And it's a point taken, Dr. Abernathy, but that being even so, we shouldn't continue to run, and maybe that's a reason that the BNP has had some success. They've had this problem. We need to face this problem. We need to face it sooner rather than later.
Nick Griffin is wonderful, and he's doing wonderful things for Great Britain.
Yes, indeed.
Well, Winston, I know you respect and admire Virginia as much as I do, so by all means, you need to have a little airtime with her before the sand runs out of the hourglass in terms of this interview. So anything you'd like to chime in?
Well, thank you, James. I appreciate that.
I'm doing what I can.
Dr. Abernathy, I have here something that one of our loyal listeners sent us, and this is just one of the more insidious results of immigration. I have here a poster of the state of Texas's 10 most wanted fugitives. Now, on this list of 10 most wanted fugitives, there are 7 mestizos, and they are clearly mestizos. It is obvious. And yet 5 of these mestizos are listed as white.
Yes, well, that's a problem with the FBI, and we certainly need to complain to the FBI because they have a very strange way of reporting crime statistics. In the perpetrator category, they will put 90% of Hispanics into the white category, which artificially inflates a white crime. It appears that whites commit more crimes because Hispanics, 90% of the time, are put in the white category. Now, the FBI knows better. We know that because when they're totting up the statistics on victims, they break out Hispanics. So the victim categories are white, black, and Hispanic. So they really, really must be encouraged to stop lumping Hispanics into the white perpetrator category.
Well, this isn't the FBI. This is the state of Texas, and doesn't make it any less insidious. But I just wonder what the purpose of that is. They are not white, and as you said, the result is it artificially inflates the number of crimes supposedly committed by Caucasians. And to me, that is so utterly insidious, and it's something that we should be mad as hell about.
Well, I am angry. And in fact, I'm glad to know that Texas is doing it too, because we really need to complain to Texas. I suppose that they're taking their lead from the FBI, and that is the root of the problem. But the real root is political correctness, of course, which tries to minimize Hispanic crime, which is actually very, very high. There's some good people, very good people in that group, but also it's a fact that over 30% of the inmates of federal and state prisons are Hispanic.
Dr. Abernathy, we're about to come up to our next commercial break. Would you mind staying with us for just one more segment this evening?
I'm happy to do it.
Set tight, everyone. Glad to hear it. You know, we have to humor Winston since he was late coming to work tonight. Now we have to punish Dr. Abernethy by holding her for 10 more minutes. But no, in all seriousness, thank you, Virginia. We're going to come back and continue this discussion with Dr. Abernethy right after this. My good friend Winston Smith now with me here in the political cesspool this evening. We're going to talk about things we can do to help cure this ailment of American society. And we're going to hear that straight from Dr. Abernethy right after this.
Guys, we'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, and with that, I think I will open up the phone lines here just for a moment. Dr. Virginia Abernethy with us for just one final segment this evening. Still much more to come, though, in the political cesspool tonight, as we'll hear from Frank Roman and Reverend Ted Pike before the clock runs out on us this evening. Don't forget, if you want to call in, the number is 1-866-986-NEWS. And if you want to ask a question of Dr. Abernethy, you better call in quick. 1-866-986-NEWS. Winston, as we continue on talking about the illegal alien debate, so to speak, what's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I want to know if you can hear me.
Yeah, I hear you good.
Okay, the reason is I just hooked up, I did something different with my headphones here, and I just want to make sure everything is okay.
You are clear.
Well, James, what you said during the first couple of segments was absolutely correct, that it seems to have slipped off the radar, and that's to be expected when this healthcare debate is raging, but we should not let our guards down. It is still there, and it's immigration is just one of the many facets that the Obama administration has taken in hand to try to change this country for the worse, and we should not let ourselves get too sidetracked with healthcare. It's part and parcel of the problem. Dr. Abernathy has pointed out that this healthcare debacle is going to cover illegal aliens, and that should be enough to keep the immigration issue on the front burner. It's part and parcel of the same plan.
Well, I think the illegal aliens get free health care now, so it wouldn't be much of a,
yeah.
To some extent, of course. But Dr. Abernathy, let me ask you this, and this is, again, almost a no-brainer of a question, but perhaps you can shed a little more detail on it. I view the amnesty proposal as a surefire death knell for the American experiment. I mean, that ends the country the moment it's signed into legislation. It would be much more, at this point, much more detrimental than it was even when Reagan offered the first amnesty. But exactly how significant would it be, Dr. Abernathy, should it ever, God forbid, come to pass?
I think it would be terrible. And I think that the statistics were brought out by Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama last when it was being discussed in 2007. It would be probably 100,000 extra people, because it would involve not only the 20 or 30 million illegal aliens in the country now, but their families. Plus, it would be a magnet for many, many, many more. Illegal immigration would probably pick up if there was the expectation that we would have yet another amnesty.
James, Dr. Abernathy, I would like to remind everybody that when immigration reform was really at the forefront, oh, what was it, a year or so ago?
Right.
A year and a half ago?
Correct.
James, you were in something like depression over it, because they were about to vote on it, and then suddenly, what a difference a day made. The American people flooded the congressional and the Senate phone lines, melted it down, and lo and behold, they got the message. And Dr. Abernathy, I think that is really the issue behind the issue. Will our elected representatives represent us? And it seems that on this healthcare issue, they are determined not to represent us. More people want nothing to do with it than who want it. And we need to take the same tack that we took during the immigration vote. We need to flood the congressional phone lines with calls.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. I know personally one person who stayed up all night making telephone calls to Capitol Hill, and finally on the day of the vote, we shut down every line, every telephone line on Capitol Hill, and it was the concerted effort of many, many, many people. Now, the representatives and senators think that they will evade, that if they can protect themselves by not hearing what we want to tell them this time about health care. And, for example, Senator, I think her name is Lincoln, from Arkansas, at the last minute canceled the scheduling of a meeting so that people would not know where to come to hear her. And we've had people in Tennessee cancel meetings. They are running away from the public. They want to pretend that they don't know what we think about health care, and they think that perhaps they won't get voted out if they can claim that they don't know that we really oppose it.
See no evil, hear no evil, right? Well, I tell you,
is the issue behind the issue. Will our elected representatives do their duty, their sworn duty, the duty upon which they took an oath, and represent us, represent our will? They're not there for any other reason but to take what we, the people, tell them to do and do it.
I think they're going to lose the health care debate. I think so. We'll see. I've been wrong plenty of times before. But like I was saying, Winston, I think the American people have shown more of a pulse over the last year and a half, certainly more than they have in the first 27 years of my life. Over the course of the last two, they've at least shown that they're not
walking
cadavers.
I think one of the issues is, but we have to realize that we're not either Republicans or Democrats, but that we are for particular issues. And some of these issues are going to cut across party, so that when we've got a sellout who's a Republican, we punish that person equally as if he were some other party or she were some other party.
Well, this is one of those issues where you can truly put America first. I mean, there's no partisanship here. This is, you're either for America and the founding stock of, you're for real Americans. I mean, let's not mince words, or you're not. And let me ask you this, Dr. Abernathy. Let's just say we had a president that was committed to putting America first, and I know that's really a stretch. I don't guess we've had one of those in 145 years, but nevertheless, all right, better yet, Dr. Abernathy, you're president for a day. What could a president do in order to nip this in the bud? Would it ever be conceivable that we'd have another Operation Wetback like we had with Eisenhower?
Well, Eisenhower did manage to deport about a million illegal aliens, and he did it in 6 months. And as soon as it became clear what he was doing, a great many deported themselves. And so deportation is one thing I would do as president for a day, but the other thing I would do, and we haven't mentioned that, is I would try to close down the Federal Reserve Bank and put the money power back in the hands of the Treasury where the Constitution put it in the first place.
Hear, hear.
Hey, there you go. I tell you what, you've got my vote, and obviously, barring the Israeli domestic policy with regard to border control, wouldn't hurt. If it's good enough for them, it's good enough for us. But, all right, so it can be fixed. And one of the things you always hear about deportation is that it would cost too much. I mean, my goodness, what it would cost wouldn't be anything compared to what they're taking right now as they sit on our land. But, all right, that notwithstanding, we can't all be president. Obviously, it could be done and probably could easily be done. I asked that question to get such an answer. But we can't all be president. What can the average American do, Virginia, last question, to ensure that we get a favorable outcome on this debate, the amnesty debate, or the amnesty debate that is forthcoming? And what are some organizations out there that are deserving of our support?
Well, I support, and I'm on the board of Population Environment Balance, and I'm also on the board of Caring Capacity Network. And for a long time, we have advocated zero net immigration. That targets legal immigration as well as the illegal aliens who invade the country. And this is because legal immigration creates a climate which is a magnet for illegal friends and relatives. And they create a climate in which these illegal aliens can adjust and adapt. It makes it makes illegal alien immigration easy. So I think we have to, for 5 or 10 years, have an immigration moratorium. And these two organizations, Balance and Caring Capacity Network, CCN, are both advocating it, and we have been trying for 5 or 10 years, 20 years, with little success, I have to admit.
Well, be that as it may, here's the one thing people ought to go to bed tonight remembering, and then wake up remembering every single day. America is a lot worse off than we were. There's no doubt about it. But the sun hasn't set on our people in this country just yet. We are still a vast majority. We're not the majority that we were in 1960, and our percentage of the population is going to continue to decrease if we allow it to. But we, through our ineptitude, have done far more damage to ourselves than our most fierce opponents. I mean, we, through apathy and not becoming involved, are really the ones to blame here. Now, if we can accept responsibility for that, and if we can resolve ourselves to be more active, there is nothing that 70% of the population. Now, obviously, you got a lot of white liberals out there, so you got to cut them out. But even so, we still have so great numbers in this nation, in this country, that we could do whatever we wanted if we are resolved to flexing those muscles. We got to take a break. Dr. Abernethy, thank you. We'll be back with more right after this.
Other ethnic
groups. Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
And here we go again. Welcome back to the show. Always a pleasure and a privilege to speak with Dr. Virginia Abernethy. I want to thank her again for joining us this evening. We didn't have the opportunity to give her a proper send-off because I ran smack dab into the commercial break there, but that happens sometimes. And anyway, never was there, Winston, a finer woman, a true gentlewoman, if you will.
I agree. It's always my pleasure to get to talk with her. She has done an immense amount of good. She's taken the arrows, too. She has been vilified heinously by her opponents, and yet she continues to carry herself with dignity and with grace and with poise. She's a fine woman to have on our side.
Well, absolutely right. We got a couple of fine men forthcoming in the third hour, Frank Roman and Ted Pike, but we'll get to them in just a moment. Before we go any further, though, I'd like to remind everyone about a special promotion we're doing at our website right now and continuing on until August 31st. Donate to your favorite talk radio program, and you will get a free gift, a token of our appreciation. In return, we're offering either Dr. Tom Sunick's book, Homo Americanus, Child of the Postmodern Age. This is a scholarly read, which also features a foreword written by our good friend, Professor Kevin MacDonald. You can have that, or Craig Boddicker's DVD documentary, A Conversation About Race. You'll be happy with either one. Whichever one you want will be the one you get, but you gotta act now. And before August 31st, donate to the Political Cesspool, and we'll send you that with a nice letter along with it, thanking you for your sacrifice and your service to this radio program. And when you're at our website, which is, of course, thepoliticalcesspool.org. While you're over there, sign up for the Facebook page. We got a link from our blog over there to the Facebook page. Winston, have you seen our Facebook page?
I don't fool with Facebook.
You don't fool with Facebook?
No. I, you know, James, I get so many emails a day from Political Cesspool listeners and from other things. Plus, I have my job. And I'll tell you what. I will get on Facebook just because... Well, just because I think I should, as a political cesspool co-host. But it's there are so many of these things out there, and they just take up scads of your time. But I guess
I'm not asking you to marry Facebook. I'm asking if you've seen our page.
Oh no, I haven't.
Where have you been?
to be perfectly honest, well, you know, my job has made me travel some, and I've taken on some big projects with my job. That's why I haven't been on the air for what's it been, 4 or 5 weeks, for crying out loud?
It's been about a month. You've had a busy summer, I'll give you that. You must obviously not have a computer. Your computer must be down. Anybody with a computer who's ever listened to this show in the last 2 weeks, go to our Facebook page. You got to, Winston, we're going to have words off air. I'll tell you.
Yeah, it's kind of shameful that I haven't been there yet, but I haven't. So,
well, listen, we love our fans. Listen, and truth be known, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into it, administering it, but we have such great fans that they do it for us. This is a complete fan page. This isn't sponsored by the official radio program per se. We've had some great supporters out there, and I am eternally indebted to them for making this, but they put it up. I'll tell you the story since you've obviously been out of pocket. They put it up a couple of weeks ago, right? We've already got over 500 fans on there, and it's a great forum for listeners of this program to interact with one another. And you know how much we love listener relations and talking with our friends who tune in and actually care what we have to say. And anyway, over 500 people in 2 weeks that listen to the show already signed up there. And it's just a big party. It's a big internet party for our listening audience. They can go there. They can go to our website. Send us an email. I love hearing from you. James@thepoliticalcesspool.org. Sign up for Facebook. We'll be there. I'm going to get Winston over there. Don't you worry about it. Don't you worry about it. We got a lot of Winston Smith fans out there. They want to have some FaceTime with you. You got to get over there.
I will do so.
All right.
I promise.
I'm going to be checking up on that.
All right.
There's not an hour that passes that I don't go to our Facebook page. So we got to.
You got too much free time, man.
No, I check it out at least a few times a week, and it's always great to every time I visit. The number of political cesspool fans that have joined has gone up. So anyway, a lot of good stuff happening. We got the promotion going on right now. We got the Facebook page. It's up. We're excited about that. Obviously, some of us more than others, but no, it's a lot of fun to be had. So folks, check it out. And I'm going to quit ribbing you, Winston. I know when you get older in age, you really lose touch with the internet, and that's just not your bag. So you would prefer a good book.
That's a filthy thing to say.
you prefer a good book. See, you prefer a good book. I prefer a good website. That's just the generational gap. We work through it.
But you also prefer eating Crystal to eating a healthy meal.
Well, like I said, with Keith Alexander today, we went to a 5-star Italian restaurant with one of the supporters of our show here, and I ordered French fries. So that's just how I roll. I'm a little bit eccentric like that. I would say eccentric rather than weird.
James, so, you can only be eccentric when you're rich. When you do weird things when you're poor like us, you're crazy.
Touche. Then I'm crazy, and all right. Well, you know, I've been called worse. I'll tell you that. True. We know that's the truth. Anyway, I guess. See, we have too much fun. When we start having fun, we get. You know, this is the way it was in the old days of the show. We'd start having fun like this, and we wouldn't talk about politics for the next 2 hours. We'd just start talking about random things that we do in our daily lives and stories that we have behind the scenes. Now, that's good radio. The stories that me and you and the rest of the staff have behind the scenes, Winston, man, we could tell some stories. What the listeners get on the air is nothing compared to the fun we have as hosts of this program off the air. Lord have mercy.
Oh, yeah, and if people could just see what goes on in the WLRM studio sometimes, they would be either very bemused or very aghast. But, your highly trained and professional political cesspool staff, we're an unusual bunch, and you know, we do what we do, and I think we're fairly representative of our fans. I'm sure a lot of our fans could tell us crazy things that they do as they're listening to the political cesspool.
Absolutely. I mean, just one example, for instance, of course, Winston Smith and the bombardier Eddie Miller, a couple of the elder statesmen of the hosting staff, 16 sorority girls in the booth with them at WLRM having a pillow fight. That's just one of the things that you see.
That was all right.
Well, maybe I dreamed that episode of the cesspool, but nevertheless, we've had some good times. All right, I guess work must intrude, Winston. We ought to get back on topic now, as hard as it's going to be. Thankfully, we got Frank Roman and Ted Pike coming up in the third hour, so they're pretty much going to spur us to get back on track. But I guess we better go ahead and kick our own selves in the behinds and get back to it. Because I do want to pick up on one thing that we were talking about with Virginia Abernathy. That being the Obamacare situation where you're having all of these people show up at these town hall meetings and very demonstratively expressing their displeasure. And I'm happy to see it. I mean, like I said, these politicians that would force something so heinous down our throats deserve nothing less than our sheer and utter contempt. But it's not just that. They're getting all that and more, and the American people are really rising up. But, you know, this is such an open and closed case, as is most of the issues we have to deal with. It's insane that there is even a debate, but there's not really a debate. The only debate that exists is the one that the media tries to fabricate. The American people don't want this, overwhelmingly, but yet it's still being portrayed by the so-called mainstream media as a legitimate debate. But, you know, I can end the debate right now. What has the government ever administered, other than the military, that has been halfway effective? I mean, look at the post office, for example, how they've run that into the ground. UPS and FedEx make a mint, and the United States government can't figure out a way to make the post office profitable. Look at what they've done to education since they took over with the Department of Education. It would be the same thing with healthcare. It would be the worst thing that ever happened to us if we got sick, if the government was administering the healthcare in this country. And it was just sickening, though, yesterday. I don't know if anyone caught it. Obama was in Montana. Now, Obama didn't receive 200 votes in Montana. But everybody that was at his town hall meeting for socialized medicine was supportive. I mean, he got like 100 standing ovations. It was a complete orchestrated circus act. And the mainstream media presented this as if everyone in Montana, red state, hardcore paleoconservative Montana, was for health care. Now, you know they passed out tickets to that. You know that everybody that was there was people that identified themselves as Obama supporters. And this is what we got to put up with. I mean, how truthful is the media being? Well, obviously, as usual, not at all. Did you catch that at all, though, Winston, yesterday?
I saw some of it, and I agree with you. It was as phony as a $3 bill. It could not have been more contrived. It could not have been more orchestrated. It was an entire sham, just like this entire issue is. James, when they do the autopsy on this debate, when it's all over with, we're going to find out that the real criminal, the real devil himself in this matter, is Congress. And what they're going to find out about Congress is that they are entirely a hypocritical bunch. They do not represent us, and that's normal. That's normal for Congress. James, Congress demands that the majority of Americans give in and relent and give up to minorities. Look at how Congress operates. Look at who Congress represents. They represent every minority you can think of, and they demand that those of us in the majority simply let the minority have their way. And yet in Congress, they demand majority rule. They are taking something for themselves that they will not allow us.
Hey, sit tight, Winston. We'll pick up right there at the top of the third hour.